When I was driving in, my dashboard, sometimes as many cars do, gives you an outside temperature. And this time around, it gave me a little picture, too. It not only gave me the temperature, it showed me like a frozen thermometer.
Oh.
Not a thermometer, but a thermometer. It was just kind of like this image, like, hey, it's cold out there. I said I could tell. I can't even see with the ice through the windows.
Like a riskometer.
Well, no, it's risk-o-meter. Oh. Not, well, maybe somebody could help us with it. It's just a fun title for it. The Holiday Fire Risk-O-Meter. Where do you rank with your Holiday Fire Risk-O-Meter? We'll share some tips with us. We have with us John Kinney, Chief Claim Officer for the Hartford. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
All right, so riskometer or risk-o-meter?
You know, I've been calling it risk-o-meter, but maybe maybe somebody will correct me afterwards.
Riskometer sounds more scientific, you know, but risk-o-meter sounds like, you know, we can, you know, spin the wheel and see whether we're you know, satisfactory or not. You, of course, as a claim officer with the Hartford, sees the back end of all of this, something that you want to prevent. Let's talk about some of the common fire occurrences that actually start, you know, occur during the holiday season.
Yeah, you know, fires happen all year round, unfortunately, but at the Hartford, you know, we have a deep fire history, and you know, in our company. We started in 1810 as a fire company, and you know, those of you that, you know, a lot of your listeners will remember getting that plastic red helmet in probably in grade school, and we're taught to stop, drop, and roll. That's the Junior Fire Marshal program that we started 70 years ago, and it put 110 million kids through it. So we step back, we go, okay, what is our data telling us? And what you see is between Thanksgiving and New Year's, that the types, the number of fires and how bad they are increases pretty significantly. And what jumps out for us is the most common day is Thanksgiving, followed by Christmas Day, followed by Christmas Eve. And then, you know, when you check that against third-party data, they'll also tell you New Year's Eve as well. And the most common causes, and it's not surprising when you step back and you think about what's happening in your home during the holidays, it's cooking number one, it's candles number two, it's your fireplace number three, and electrical is the four most common causes for fires during the holiday season.
So what can we do, I guess, to mitigate that? What do we need to do? We're not going to have training sessions with our family when they come over. It's enough just to get them to sit around the table. What should we do as we're having people come over so that we got like a checklist or something?
Well, you know, I think, of course, in any fire, there's always common sense, right? You're going to want to make sure that you're trying to keep your stove clean and your stovetop clean and your oven, right? There are things that happen all year round. But when you ask the claim professionals who have lived this for years, you know, what's the advice you'd give people? And start with cooking for a minute. A little piece of advice that I actually use myself is when you're distracted by your family and you've got a lot of people running through their kitchen, if you leave the kitchen and something's on the stovetop, take the pot holder and put it in your pocket. Because what it's going to do is remind you that if you're sitting out in the living room, that you may have something on your stove. And just a, you know, a helpful piece of advice, think candles for a minute. You know, a lot of people burn candles during the holidays. When you go to bed, walk around the house to make sure you blow them all out. Because unfortunately, a common cause, again, is when people don't do that. And electrical, two things I've learned myself, is when you talk to, again, to a claim professional, they'll tell you, as it relates to when you hang your lights outside, and a lot of people hang lights on their home, and I'm one of them, and you don't try to avoid using metal staples or nails. Because if you nick the wire and destroy the sheathing around it, you have a much higher chance of fire. Inside, and I violated this last year, I won't do it again, is only string three sets of lights off of one outlet. Because if you go more than that, you're going to cause a higher likelihood of fire.
Now, related to the stringing of lights, and things have changed in the world of lights, or maybe not, because if you have sort of the incandescent bulb, it's different than if you have these LED, at least based on the packaging of how much electricity or power is being used by that. Is that true or not, or am I getting a false sense of security with that?
No, you're absolutely right. So with some of the lights, one thing you always look for, first off, is it certified? You see on electrical outlets and devices, UL, it stands for Underwriter Labs. If UL has certified the lights, it's always a thing you're going to look for because it tells you they've been put through the testing. But even with an LED that doesn't generate as much heat in the bulb, what you're looking for, though, is you don't want to stress the circuit. And even with the lesser electricity running through an LED versus a standard bulb, great, again, just best practices is try not to string more than three, even of those together, because you're not as worried about the heat coming from the bulb as you are in the stress on the electrical.
How often should I replace those wirings? New technology comes through. Also, I'm thinking I'm cheap. I got these wires about 15 years ago. I keep using them. At what point are these $3 lights that I need to replace, or what's your recommendation for that?
Well, first thing is always inspect them. And your bulbs must be better than mine because I feel like I replace them every 2 years. You go through and see if there's any frayed wiring, frayed, because the lights typically aren't meant to last that long. But as a general practice, you go through, like we all do, you plug them in and see if they're working. But take the time to go through and see, both in the wiring as well as around the bulbs, are there any signs of problems? And because they've become a lot cheaper in the last 5 years as well, or 10 years, I think a good practice would be to replace them every couple. I wouldn't wait 15 years before I replace my bulbs.
John, you mentioned the dangers of candles, and that's obvious if they come in contact with something. But if somebody lights a candle, they put it on a table, they put it on a countertop, everything looks good. What happens if they just let it burn? How does it catch something else on fire?
So a perfectly maintained candle will burn itself out. You're right. Now put yourself in the most homes during the season, and there's decorations, right? So you think about, at least in my home, you've got, my kids love to hang stuff around the house, and the risk of you being within a foot of a decoration that's flammable or a tree or something else that may catch fire becomes a much higher risk during the holidays. But you're absolutely right. If you follow great best practices, which is, make sure it's within no closer to a foot than anything else, and you've got a hurricane lamp over it, you're right. It's not going to be an issue. But be mindful that during the holidays, other things enter the picture that may not be there 2 months later.
We've gone through a time change here where it was always change your clock, change your battery, smoke alarm. Is that still sort of a protocol? Right now, my clocks seem to change themselves, so I really don't think about it as much as I used to.
Absolutely. Best practices, you always use the time change to make sure the batteries in your smoke alarms are working. The thing I'd tell you, too, is when we surveyed people, we actually went out and surveyed 1,000 people and said, what do you do that may add to the risk? We didn't ask the question that way, but what they admitted to was about 47% of the people that were interviewed left stuff, used a dirty stove or dirty oven, but there was about 25% of the people who admitted to taking the batteries out of the smoke alarms while they were cooking because they didn't want to be bothered. That is not good. That's not a good idea because the chances, A, of something bad happening while you're doing it is high, but then of you remembering to put them back is even worse. So I love the idea. You always, and I also, by the way, in my home, I also look at it as a way to make sure that my fire extinguishers is up to date as well, because fire extinguishers have a lifespan as well. It's good to check that while you're checking your batteries.
And where can people get some good ideas of how to maintain safety, tips like that, maybe a checklist, or even see whether they have some of those practices that they should change in their habits during the holidays? Where's a good place for getting information?
So I'd highly recommend the Hartford.com/JFM, as in Junior Fire Marshal. And it's built for families, but it's also built because of our partnership with AARP for seniors as well. And our Mature Market program gives some special tips there for our senior partners as well.
John, I have to, before we leave, let you know that I still, in somewhere in my collection, because I'm that kind of guy, still have my Junior Fire Marshal badge that came with it, too.
So, I love it. So, I absolutely love it.
The hat doesn't fit anymore, but I still got the badge, which kind of reminds, Craig's laughing at me because I tell him all the things that I kept, but I was honored to have that. I'm working on my junior's radio engineering badge every once in a while around here to help out with the engineering people. But, I'm a junior fire marshal. Proud for that. John, we appreciate your time this morning.
Thanks, Bruce.